Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Professor Smada Rosenzweig, and today we will be studying Shmuel Aleph Perek Kaf Tet, Chapter 29. Let's recap Perek Kaf Chet, Chapter 28. The first two psukim verses describe David and Achish, the Philistine king of Gat. Achish wants David to fight alongside him in his battle versus Israel, and David answers equivocally and ambiguously, "You know what I, your servant, will do." And Achish responds, "Therefore, you will be my bodyguard forever." And we will come back to this in our chapter today, chapter 29, Kaftet. But the main focus of the last perek was Shaul. It mentioned again in Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, that Shaul died. We know that already. But Rashi explains that the Navi introduces this story with these words to highlight how alone Shaul felt at this time. The Plishtim gathered their forces at Shunem, and Shaul and the Israelites are camping on Mount Gilboa. When Shaul sees the Plishtim camp, he is fearful, very fearful. Vayecherad libo me'od. The earlier chapter highlighted that even in the Plishtim camp, David has plans and strategies and is not fearful at all and acts very boldly. As we said, these prakim are constantly comparing and contrasting David and Shaul, to David's benefit mostly. Shaul asks Hashem, and he doesn't answer. Not even in dreams, not in the Urim V'Tumim, the breastplate, and not with prophets. One of Shaul's greatest accomplishments was to remove all the soothsayers from Israel, so all of Bnei Israel would always be reliant just on the Navi, on the prophet, just on the breastplate. But now, he feels abandoned because Hashem's not answering him. Not in the dreams, not by the prophets, not by the breastplate, by the Urim V'Tumim. So he goes looking for a Ba'alat Ov, a woman who practices necromancy, communicating with the dead, the black arts. Rashi comments that Hashem isn't answering him in any fashion, especially the Urim V'Tumim, the breastplate, because he murdered the city of Nov, the city of the Kohanim, the priests who wear the breastplate. So he does not deserve to be answered with that special breastplate, with the Urim V'Tumim. His servants tell him, "We found the necromancer for you in the city of Ein Dor." And Shaul gets dressed up to visit her. He does not want Bnei Israel to know that he is inquiring a necromancer, those very same practitioners that he banned, and also he might not want her to recognize him. However, if she's good, she should be able to see through the costume. When he arrives, she tells him that he is endangering her life, because Shaul removed all those practicing the black arts. Ironic. And he swears that nothing will happen to her. He requests her to raise Shmuel. And when Shmuel rises, she cries out and says, "You tricked me. You are Shaul." He tells her, "Don't be afraid. What did you see?" And she responds, "Elokim ra'iti olim min ha'aretz." A divine being is rising up from the ground, or a great judge, right? Elohim, many times is used as judge. "How does he look?" asks Shaul. And she replies, "He's old and wearing a cloak. Zaken va'ole ote mi'il." And again, this is a nice reference to Chana, because Chana always made him a me'il. That was a special thing that she always brought him every time she came to visit. And Shaul knows right away that it is Shmuel who is rising up, and he bows down. But Shmuel is upset that he was raised. Lama hir gaztani? and he gives Shaul a very bitter message. Number one, that Hashem is his adversary. Number two, that the kingship will be ripped from him and go to David, his fellow. Number three, that because he did not listen to the voice of Hashem and he did not destroy Amalek, he lost the kingship. And number four, that Bnei Israel will fall in the hands of Plishtim and that he and his sons will join Shmuel, meaning they will all die tomorrow. All the commentators ask, how could she have really raised Shmuel? We don't believe in black magic. The Gaon, Rav Shmuel ben Chofni, says it was a sham. And it's all a show. And Rambam usually agrees. All magic and all these activities are a sham. Sleight of hand. Ralbag says it was the power of suggestion. When you suggest something and someone is willing to accept it, then they imagine and they see these things. But many of the other commentators ask, but she knows the details of the future. So something about this has to be real. So even the rationalists that usually do not believe that there is anything to black magic explain it in these different ways. Rav Hai Gaon and Rav Saadja Gaon say that Hashem did it in order to inform Shaul of his future. So it's not the Eshet Baalat Ha'ov. She's not doing anything. Hashem raises Shmuel. The Akedat Yitzchak, Yitzchak Arama, says that she just started the process and that Shmuel himself continued the process. And the Malbim says that for the first 12 months, the body and the soul are connected on some level, and that's why these practices can happen during that time period. When Shaul hears this message from Shmuel, he falls his full height and is very fearful. It's a terrible message. The Balat of the necromancer says, look, I listened to your request and put my life in my hands. Now you listen to me, Shma Na. I am going to give you food so you will have strength to go on. Initially, he refuses, but in the end, he listens to their voice, his helpers, his aides, and the necromancer, the Baalat Ov, Vayishma Lekolam. She prepares meat and matzah, and they eat, and they go on their way that night. As we said earlier, these chapters are written to contrast the actions of David and Shaul and show why David is worthy to be king. Shaul is not answered by any mechanism connected to Hashem. He is fearful. He listens to the Baalat Ov. He eats her food. He hears the prophecy that predicts the death of his family and the end of his monarchy. So Shaul is depicted in a fearful light, and we are really worried for him. David, on the other hand, in all these Prakim, is always answered by Hashem, even the smallest request. He's valiant. He's victorious. He's not fearful of the enemy. He does some bold actions. He listens to the smart, amazing Jewish woman Abigail, not to a Baalat Ov. And he eats Abigail's food and learns an amazing lesson from Abigail that doesn't tell him about the end of his life, but tells him how he's going to have a future and how he could be the next king. So our question is, will Shaul do tshuva and save his kingship and his sons? Or is it too late? Right? Will David falter and fall and fail in the camp of the Plishtim? What happens in our perek? In Perek Kaftet, chapter 29. It is a very short perek, just 11 psukim, 11 verses. It is focused on that David in the camp of the Plishtim. As we said, the images of Shaul and David are in constant comparison. Bnei Yisrael and the Plishtim are camped opposite each other. The Plishtim number in the hundreds and the thousands, and David follows with his men in the rear. The Plishtim king, Achish, is in the back to protect himself during battle. Nowadays, the famous phrase is that the Israeli army generals always say, Acharai, follow me. They lead their men and don't lag in the back. But Achish is in the back. He's protecting himself. The other Philistine generals are very upset that David is with the king and that David is going to war with them against Bnei Israel, the Israelites. They comment to Achish, isn't that David, the Israelite war hero that the women come out and sing after each defeat of the Plishtim? Hika Shaul ba'alafav v'David berivavotav. That Shaul kills thousands, but David slays tens of thousands of Philistines? Furthermore, isn't he a loyal servant of Shaul, the king of Israel? He can't go to war with us. He will be an underminer, a satan, in our ranks. He's going to fight for the Israelites. We know he's going to do something sneaky. Achish swears to David that he's fine in his eyes, but his generals do not approve of him going to battle against Israel with them. And Achish tells David to return to his camp in peace. And David answers incredulously, what have I done that I should not join you to fight against the enemies of my lord, my king, Adoni HaMelech? He does not say Achish's enemies. And we understand that David would only do things that were good for Israel. Achish says, you are like an angel to me, but my generals really do not want you to come. Leave early in the morning. And David leaves early from the Plishtim campsite in Israeli territory back to Philistine territory where his city Tziklag is. This chapter highlights how David, even in the most unusual and dangerous circumstances, has God miraculously protecting him. And how David is also very convincing and savvy when he needs to be. David thinks on his feet. He answers and does the right thing at the right time. And even many times when it seems like he's going to fail, boom, he really grabs victory. He's able to continue, get back on his feet. What will happen when David returns to his family campground in Ziklag? Is everything going to be fine? Or is he going to have something that he will have to deal with? A catastrophe or an incident? Let's find out in our next perek, Perek Lamed, chapter 30. Thank you for studying together Li'ilui Nishmat Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.